So we're going to continue our conversations here on our countdown to the Annapolis Summit. Looking forward to all to joining us there on January the 8th. We are about to talk with Senator Brian Frosch, who's a Maryland State Senator representing District 16 in Montgomery County. He also happens to be running for the Democratic nomination for Attorney General, which is not why he's here today. And Delegate Kurt Anderson, who is a Maryland State Delegate representing District 43 in Baltimore City, and he's chairman of the Baltimore City delegation. And gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And a couple years ago, there was a huge controversy when a pit bull mauled a young boy in Baltimore and almost killed him. The young boy's name, Dominic Spileski, was his name. And so that led to this whole lawsuit, ended up in the Maryland State highest court, Court of Appeals, that ruled that pit bulls are inherently dangerous. It was thrown to the state legislature. The Senate and came in the special session, I remember, the end of last session. Nothing can happen either. No compromise can be made over whether to support the ruling, write a law around the ruling. So let me ask you both first. Why was there such difficulty in putting our arms around this one?
Mark, it's funny. I mean, we've made a series of compromises. They've all failed. Kurt and I chaired a task force that met in the interim after the Spileski decision, and I think the task force never took a formal vote, but it seemed as if there was a agreement. Kurt and I agreed. We tried a bill that failed in a special session, and then last year we made another compromise. Delegate Simmons from Montgomery County and I have been on opposite sides of the issue, as it turned out. We made a compromise that fell apart for reasons that are hard to explain. But essentially what's going on is a discussion of whether strict liability is an appropriate standard, and secondarily, whether it makes sense to discriminate among breeds of dogs. I think where we are and what I think will happen this session, although hard to make predictions after what happened in the last go-around, I think we'll reach agreement on a standard that is in between strict liability, which is what 35 of our sister states have, and the one bite rule, which applies in some states and it applies in some sense in Maryland. It's not a strict one bite rule, and by that I mean, that the dog is entitled to one bite before the owner is liable for the next bite. But I think we're gonna come down in between those two polar standards and say that we're gonna presume that the owner of the animal that attacks somebody else is liable unless the owner can show that it was the other person's fault, or that the owner had no reason to know that the animal would be dangerous.
And Kurt, what you read on that?
As Brian said, I have agreed the whole time on the fact that, if you have a dog and your dog bites somebody, why should the other person have to prove his case as opposed to you being responsible for your dog? Now, there are certain things that we put into the bill that would create some exceptions. For instance, if your dog is out in your yard and somebody comes along and agitates the dog, even if it's a child, sticks a stick through the fence or throws a stone at the dog, and somehow the dog then bites the child. That was one of the exceptions that we all agreed upon. But I was always of the opinion that if you're walking your dog, as you should be with a leash in public, and your dog bites somebody, then you should be responsible without the other person having to jump through all these hoops to show that, well, he didn't know that his dog was going to do this. You have to assume that a dog can and will bite somebody, because dogs will do that. I think one of the testimony I remember distinctly is that one of the guys who's making this point said, just remember, ladies and gentlemen, all dogs are descended from the same animal, a wolf. So all dogs still have some degree of wildness in them at some point in time. Whether it's a pit bull or a poodle, you have to be a responsible dog owner.
Well, I mean, it was the crux of the problem, the breed itself, that I mean, there was a lot of people who kind of questioned the appeals court saying that a pit bull was inherently dangerous. And, of course, that raised all kinds of hackles with people who own pit bulls, many of whom are sweet as any other dog you can imagine. So was that, Brian, the initial issue here, that we make an assumption, and really an illegal but unscientific assumption, about a certain breed?
Yeah, that was part of the problem. The problems that were created by the court decision were several. That was number one. Do we discriminate among breeds? I mean, is a pit bull inherently dangerous as opposed to a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd or a poodle? You know, most other states say the owner is going to be responsible, absent extraordinary circumstances, is going to be held strictly liable. And most animal lovers, most pet owners, will agree, look, dog is my responsibility. And if he bites, I should be held responsible. But you shouldn't be singling out one breed as opposed to another. So that was an issue. Another issue that caused a great deal of controversy was that the court said, strict liability attaches not only to the owners, but also to the landlords of the owners. And I think most people didn't agree with that part of the decision because the landlord may not know there's a dog in there, number one, and number two, may not know that the dog is dangerous or that it's a pit bull. And the court's decision ultimately is very difficult to apply in the real world. Because now it applies only to purebred pit bulls. I'm not sure we know exactly what a purebred pit bull is, and it makes the trial of one of these cases devolve down to a question of what is the DNA of the animal. And that's not a practical solution. So we need to make some changes, not only because of the breed-specific nature of the legislation, but also because of its application to a landlord. And then you get into the question about whether we ought to go to the strict liability end of the spectrum or stay on the one-bite rule end of the spectrum. I think we're going to reach a solution that's fair to victims, that's fair to pet owners, and fair to landlords.
I mean, Kurt, one of the things here, I mean, even though, I mean, the latest studies show that pit bulls are the most dangerous of breeds, showing that 94% of all pit bull attacks are unprovoked, was one of the studies that I read today. The reality is part of the problem is, even if it's not the breed, is that what people are scared about are people raising vicious dogs that they breed to fight, that they breed to be vicious, and that these are the dogs that are attacking people. So, I mean, I think, are we having a hard time really putting our hands around the real issue?
Well, yeah, and we're trying to, I mean, you know, we understand that. And we're trying to craft a bill that would, you know, make sure that a person who raises a dog to be vicious is definitely going to be that person that's going to be liable. We heard testimony during the hearings, and we had a couple different hearings 2 years ago now with regard to the dog of the decade. For instance, last decade it was the Rottweiler prior to the pit bull that was the most dangerous dog out there, and people wanted legislation because Rottweilers were so dangerous. Before that, in the 90s, it was the Doberman Pinscher, and as Brian mentioned earlier, before that, Mark, when you were a youngster coming up, it was the German Shepherd or the Boxer. So there's always going to be a breed of dog that people consider dangerous. In fact, in a province in Canada, they were considering legislation to make the ownership of the Husky, you know, the same thing as we were considering with regard to the pit bull, because Huskies had been biting people in that province. And they thought the Husky was dangerous. So if you try to get into a specific dog breed and saying this breed is more dangerous than the other, you're going to see a lot of different surveys or polls or whatever showing that, you know, in any particular decade, there's a particular dog that is bad. The bad thing that we're trying to stop are the owners who are irresponsible. Not just the owners who breed dogs to fight, but owners who let dogs run free as well. Because as I said earlier, any dog can be dangerous. You know, it doesn't matter whether you get bitten by a pit bull, you know, or a schnauzer. You've got some serious injuries that you've got to take care of, and we want to make sure that all dogs, you know, that responsible dog owners don't suffer, and those who are irresponsible do.
And this bill, did I hear you right, Brian, earlier, the compromise legislation, if it goes through, that the landlord would not be responsible?
the landlords would be put back in the same position they were before the Selesky decision. That is to say, if they're negligent, if they know or they should know that they've got a dog in their premises that is vicious, that's likely to bite somebody, then they're going to be held responsible. If they don't know that, then they won't be held responsible. That's what the law is today, and it would remain the same under the bill that we are going to pass, or I hope will pass, but we will presume in circumstances where the dispute is between the owner and the victim that the owner knew or should have known. And so it's not quite strict liability. It's really right in the middle between strict liability and the one bite rule.
So I mean, this might be a silly question for both of you, but I'm curious. Do you think that, given where the legislation has come to, that it was even if it's even necessary to do, if it's that similar to the law that already exists?
It's definitely necessary because of what the Selesky case did. It put landlords in a position where they didn't know what to do, and they started turning out folks who had pit bulls or anything close to being a pit bull in their apartment dwellings, or folks who were, you know, or folks who had pit bulls or could have, you know, or could have been pit bulls, were told to get rid of the dogs. And we're still in a situation where, you know, many owners are losing, you know, valued members of their family because of what the legal situation is. It's still kind of an unsettled situation.
Brian, closing thought on that?
Yeah, I would add to that we're in an odd situation where you have one rule that applies to pit bulls and another rule that applies to all other animals, and neither rule really fits very well. We ought to move away from the so-called one-bite rule, and Maryland has a little bit, but most of our sister states have adopted strict liability. Clearly, a strict liability bill is not going to pass the General Assembly, but we ought to have one rule that makes sense that applies to all dogs and all dog owners. I think we do need to have something to accomplish that. We need to do it to fix the landlord problem and to eliminate the breed-specific nature of the Selesky decision.
So we're here talking with Senator Brian Frosch. He's a Maryland State Senator representing District 16 in Montgomery County. He's also running for Attorney General on the Democratic primary. Delegate Kurt Anderson represents the 43rd District in Baltimore City and is chairman of the Baltimore City delegation. They were co-chairs of the task force to study the Tracy v. Selesky court decision regarding pit bulls, which we've been talking about today, and we may have gotten to a decision, we hope. So, Senator Frosch and Delegate Anderson, thank you both so much for joining us here on Countdown to the Summit on the Mark Steiner Show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. That's right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you all. This is Mark Steiner, and I want to invite all of you to join me for the 11th Annual Annapolis Summit on January the 8th, between 7 and 10 a.m. at the Calvert House in Annapolis, for a live broadcast. I'll be interviewing the governor, the Speaker of the House, and the President of the Senate about all the issues affecting our lives that will come before the Maryland General Assembly in this session. And it's your opportunity to ask your questions of our state leaders and to have your voice heard. So please, join us at the Annapolis Summit. Just go to www.steinershow.org for ticket information. The Annapolis Summit is sponsored by Stevenson University, the Maryland State Education Association, Alexander and Cleaver, the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Our production partner is VBC. Our media sponsors are WEAA and The Daily Record. Be there. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. To hear the show again and podcast any of our past shows and find out information about our guests, the work they do, what they've been writing, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And you can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. For Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.